Jesus, we always want to see the Word of God come alive so that we can truly apply the teachings that are given. And now speak, your servant listens. May we not just hear the Word, but walk in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we begin something quite new in the last 18 years of our church. We will have Sunday messages, but we will also have small groups that are tied to Sunday messages. You'll be able also to listen to our messages on our website, and we'll be doing a podcast in there, so you'll be able it'll be MP3, so you'll be able to listen to it too in case you miss it. Now, we have small groups that we have set up. Okay. These are the messages that we'll be presenting the next few weeks. Now, you'll see a gap in May 6th and May 27th. The reason is May 13th is Mother's Day, and May 20th, we have our association pulpit rotation, so we'll be rotating all different places, but we'll come back on May 27th for the conclusion. Now, here's the small groups. I know if you're looking at it, you'll say, how come there's mostly ladies' groups? Unfortunately, we have a few times formed men's groups. They've not been quite as successful. But Sunday afternoon, we wrote down co-ed. It's like going to school. So it's mainly we have some of our parents where the children are having discipleship on Sunday afternoon. So we'll have that. But later on, before we end the service, we're going to divide up into different places where the leaders are, so that all of you will get an opportunity to kind of meet up. If there are people that doesn't fit here and you'd like to do another time, just let me know and we'll try to set something up for everybody. But I encourage everybody to start reading Ruth. Now, Ruth is a very short book. It's only 4 chapters. And it's kind of an interesting book because there's not a lot of teaching in the book. But there's a lot of practice. And that is the most important thing for us as Christians. The reason that our faith works is not just because of the teachings, but it is because of how people's lives are lived. That's why I liked that movie earlier so much, because it shows the infancy of Christianity, the struggles of Christianity, and how to live your faith in the face of so much persecution and difficulty. Ruth cannot be considered a theological book, but it contains a lot of theology in there, but it also contains a lot of practical human experience. You will see tragedy where Naomi's husband dies, and Ruth's husband, and then her sister-in-law's husband also dies. And the practical thing about famine, what do we do when their famine comes? And where do we go? How do we wait on the Lord? What if God doesn't speak? Patience, loyalty, culture. We will learn a lot about that. Because the Bible is so alive that I think that this is a good book for us to learn from. Now, you know this passage. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I wrote down that's a Greek word. The Greek word is the word that is translated God-breathed, theopneumastos. Theo is God, pneuma is spirit. Now, if you ever heard of a pneumatic pump, that's an air pump. So it can be translated air, it can be translated as spirit. The translation that is used most often in this is God-breathed. Now, some translations in the Bible will say all scripture is inspired by God. I like God-breathed better because it's the breath of God that flows through the words of God. Now, in this text, we're very familiar with teaching, rebuking, correction. There's four things that Paul says. The last is training in righteousness. You see that in the New International Version. And then the other side is J.D. Phillips, a British translator in the 19th century. So we're familiar with the first three, teaching. And we use the Bible for teaching theology, for teaching doctrine. We like rebuking. Do not do this. Do not do that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Do not commit adultery. We like those for rebuking what is happening or correcting error. Or we also like the Bible for correcting or resetting the direction of life. Now, Eugene Peterson, also another translator, translates it this way. Showing us the truth, teaching us what is true, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes. But there's a fourth one to this. And the fourth one is training us to live God's way, or training in good living, or training in righteousness. Unfortunately, in evangelical circles, we're very good with teaching. We're good, very good with exposing errors, with rebuking. We're very good at resetting the direction in terms of teaching. But unfortunately, we're not very good on the practical aspects of living God's way. We teach it, but unfortunately, there's not many examples of how we should live it. The fourth function of Scripture, which is training us to live God's way, is very important. We talk a lot about doctrine, but we don't see a lot of behavior change. Now, this is very interesting because in verse 16, Paul talks about Scripture, but it's not just without context. Here's the context wherein Paul talks about all Scripture is teaching. Verse 16 is right there, you see that. Now, let's go to verse 10, a few verses before, about six verses before all Scripture. You, however, he's telling Timothy. Now, this is the last letter that Paul wrote. He's in prison, as in the movie, and he's going to be beheaded soon. He said, you, Timothy, however, know all about my teaching. Right? Teaching is there. My way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. What Paul is saying here is, Timothy, not only is my teaching important, but the way I live my life is just as important. And you know about that context. You see, we as pastors, it's easy for us to tell you, this is what the Bible says. More of a challenge is how we live our lives and how you see we live our lives. Do our lives prove that Scripture is God-inspired? Is the way we as pastors live our lives how you ought to live your life? And by the way, not just us, is how you live your life the way people who don't know God have an opportunity to know God? That is the challenge, isn't it? Paul says, you not only know my teaching, Timothy, you know my way of life, how I lived in front of you, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. By the way, my persecutions and my suffering. This is front and center, living the Christian life in full view of everybody. Not easy, isn't it? But we need models for how this is done. We need models of how not to live. We need models more of how to live the Christian life in a way that the gospel comes alive. Paul was not done. Paul goes further. In fact, everybody who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Most churches, including ours, we don't talk about persecution a lot. But the more I see what is happening in our culture, much less in cultures like China or other very oppressive cultures, but even here where we live, we're moving in a direction to where persecutions will begin to happen for those of us who claim to be Christians or who endeavor to live the Christian life. Because evil will begin to go up. We're going to see more and more evil happen. Now here's the key word, I think, that Paul is saying to Timothy in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul is saying, you live the Christian life because the people who taught you have credibility. The people who taught you have lived it. Therefore, you can trust the Word of God. This is a tall order for us. We like to say, just follow what I tell you. But we're reluctant to say, follow my example. Because we know we fall short. But in reality, this is what we are called to. If the Bible is to make any sense to people who don't know God, they have to see that it makes sense to us. Because of how we live our faith, others will see Christ. I don't know if you caught what Jim Caviezel, who was playing Luke, he said, Paul, when I look at your life, when I hear you talk, I see Jesus. That is the key for us. And the reason why we picked the book of Ruth is because, number one, it's very easy for you to read. And so I want you to start reading it because it's a story. It's just a story, a love story. But not just a love story between two people, but about learning to understand God, learning to hear God, learning to respect elders, learning what it's like to be obedient. And I myself am very excited. Now you say, how can we have six messages from such a small book? Well, that's going to be a challenge. But there's so much material in Ruth. There's a concept in Ruth that I will introduce right now, but I'll expand it over the next few weeks. And the Hebrew word is called chesed. You have to pronounce it with a guttural sound, chesed. Okay? You write it in English, it's H-E-S-E-D, but you're supposed to say it in that way. It's called loving kindness. And you will see that played out in people. But it is played out because they represent God. You will see Ruth having this loving kindness towards her mother-in-law. You'll see Boaz eventually becoming her husband, having that loving kindness towards Ruth. So this story is a beautiful story that goes all around. And I'm very excited for that, and I hope you will be too. I'm going to end this first introductory message here because we'll have our communion. And I want to invite our worship team to come up. And we'll be singing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. It's already on your screen. And then after we finish, I'm going to give the benediction. Then I'm going to announce again the five groups that will be available. And I want to encourage all of us to kind of move into which one you think is possible. Men, I'm sorry, we're going to all be in one group for now. But seriously, if we can have enough people who want different groups, then we will also have that.